Ever get that feeling? You're driving around Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, hit a pothole, bam, or the water main breaks again. Makes you think, why is it always a struggle just to keep things working around here?
It's definitely on people's minds, especially in Southeast Houston. Seeing it firsthand, makes you wonder.
For sure. And the thing is, it's not just us. This whole idea, we found this article, the real reason your city has no money.
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen that one.
It's about Lafayette, Louisiana, but honestly, it's like looking in a mirror for any city built up after World War II.
Finally. Lafayette, about 125,000 people. They've got their downtown strip malls, those newer neighborhoods. Sounds familiar.
Exactly. Not some weird special case, just your average American city. And that's why we're doing this deep dive. This isn't just a problem, like something to solve.
Right.
It's more of a predicament, something we got to understand and figure out how to deal with it.
Exactly. The article talks about these groups, Strong Towns and Urban Three. They did some work in Lafayette. Guys like Joe Minicozzi and Josh McCarty worked with the city's public works director, Kevin Blanchard, and the mayor, Joey Durell.
They weren't just complaining, they were really digging into the finances.
Yeah, they did this super detailed analysis, looked at every single piece of land in Lafayette, mapped it all out. How much money does this spot bring in for the city versus how much does it cost to keep up the roads, the pipes, all that?
Like an X-ray, but for money.
Yeah, like a financial x-ray of the city. They even made a three-dimensional map to show it. The green areas, those are making money for the city. The red areas, costing more than they bring in.
And if you think about how our cities are laid out, you can probably guess where the green and red would be.
Right, the older neighborhoods versus the newer, more spread out developments. Probably similar patterns.
So they add up all these numbers for Lafayette and the overall picture. It's not good.
Uh-oh.
To replace everything, all the infrastructure, roads, pipes, the whole shebang, it would cost $32 billion. But the entire tax base of the city, only $16 billion.
Wow, so they're in the hole big time.
Big time. They basically promised way more than they can afford to maintain.
And to put that in perspective, they looked at a typical house in Lafayette, median price, about $150,000. Taxes on that house, maybe $1,500 a year. About 150 of that goes towards infrastructure. Just to maintain the stuff already there for that one house, roads and drainage, they figured it'd need to be more like $3,300 a year.
Yikes. And that's not even everything.
Nope, just roads and drainage. Doesn't include water, sewer, all the underground stuff, not the big treatment plants either. When you add all that in, the gap for that average house jumps to almost $8,000 a year.
That's a lot.
Right. And the median income in Lafayette is around $41,000. You can't just slap 8 grand extra in taxes on people. The article points out, to actually break even, city taxes would have to go from $1,500 to $900 or $200 a year. That's almost 20% of their income.
It's like instead of infrastructure serving the community serving the infrastructure.
Yeah, totally backwards.
So how did we get here? It's not like Lafayette's doing something uniquely bad, right?
Right. And the article argues this is because of what they call the growth Ponzi scheme. It's this pattern of development that's been pushed all over America since World War II.
Growth Ponzi scheme. That sounds kind of ominous. Break that down for us. How does this scheme actually work?
Okay, so cities, they want to grow fast, right? They expand outwards, new neighborhoods, strip malls, all that.
Yeah, we see that all the time.
And that brings in money quickly. New construction permits, fees for hooking up utilities, more property taxes from all the new houses, sales tax from the new businesses.
So short term, it looks good on the balance sheet.
But here's the catch. All that new stuff needs to be maintained. More roads to repave, more pipes to fix, more drainage to manage. And that adds up over time.
Like a credit card with a great intro rate that then jumps up to something crazy.
Yeah. And psychologically, the article talks about this thing called temporal discounting. We tend to care more about what we get now than what we might have to pay later, especially if that later seems far off.
So we think, oh, future growth will take care of all that.
Exactly. We'll grow our way out of it. But as Lafayette shows, that's not really happening. They calculated it out. There's about $2 of public infrastructure for every $1 of private investment. We've built too much stuff, and we can't pay for it all.
So what do we do about it? It's tempting to think we'll just get some big federal grant, problem solved.
Right, but it's not a quick fix. It's this deep-rooted thing. Even if you got a ton of money, if you spend it the same way, you're just digging a deeper hole.
Like the article says, with the way we're doing things, all this infrastructure is a bad investment.
And here's what's interesting for us, thinking about Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. The article mentions a follow-up piece about how poor neighborhoods make the best investments.
That's counterintuitive.
Right? We don't have all the details here, but it makes you think, maybe instead of always building new stuff, the answer is investing in what we already have.
Yeah, like focusing on our existing neighborhoods. Maybe there's untapped potential there.
Exactly. A different way of thinking about how we build and sustain our communities.
So for our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, if you're frustrated with infrastructure problems, you're not alone.
It's not because our local leaders are doing a bad job. It's this bigger nationwide trend that we've all been caught up in.
Right. And once you understand that, it can change how you think about things. Like, imagine that map they made of Lafayette, but for our area.
Yeah. Where are the green zones, the places that are generating value? And where are the red zones, the ones costing more to maintain?
That's something to think about as you drive around your own neighborhoods. And that brings us to the key question for you, our listener. What can we do differently starting right here, right now?
If we know this is a predicament, not just a problem, how do we start building a more resilient, sustainable community? It's about asking those questions, looking for those opportunities, and working together to make a difference. Local actions, making a bigger impact over time.
That's what we're all about here. Think and act locally. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See you later.